Hello.
Hello.
Oh,
Craig is not back from yet. He ran to grab coffee or something.
Okay.
So now we get to talk about the fun stuff. Now, we spent all last hour talking about...
Well, when he gets back, I want to ask him a couple of things. I actually went back to the list that we got from Roy, which is quite extensive on places where Shaul is mentioned. And I took the... I'm a very slow translator, but I did take one of them, the Psalm 49:14, and hopefully we get a chance to talk about it a little bit, because I had a little bit of an insight, I think, and I wanted to check with him and make sure my thinking is not too skewed. But it's...
You call it slow. I call it deliberate. I'm very deliberate.
Well, I do kind of a... I take more than just the surface stuff that most of the things do, most of the dictionaries and so forth have, and the lexicons have. And then I go back and I find the root word and just, I kind of dig out a little stuff just in case there's something there that is added that, and sometimes there isn't, sometimes not so much. I took every word in this in 48:14, and as I was doing it, I thought to myself, now wait a minute, death and Sheol are not the same thing, so you can't be talking about, well anyway, when he gets back, I'm going to ask him about that before I shoot my mouth off.
I'd say let's hear it.
Well, we'll think this through just a minute. If he's talking about death, and it says the shepherd of death in there, or the shepherd of death, or the plague of death, or things, when it refers to things like that, it cannot be talking about Shaul or Sheol, place of death, because that's not where most, 99% of the population is not going to go to Sheol. Death doesn't mean that. Death means, that's moed. It means a length of time that something lives and then it dies. It's a mortality. And then it's the soul disappears and the body disappears, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, as far as I know, that's right.
Okay. So when he's talking about death in something, then he can't be talking about Sheol, because Sheol, there's no death in Sheol. That's eternal life separated from Yahweh, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So then it shouldn't be translated as Sheol when that's mentioned in the same sentence, in the same context, because Sheol, it has to be Shaul,
mm-hmm.
Saul, or Sheol, Paul. Mm-hmm. It has to be him, because there's the Sheol is the eternal separation, and that's what you, and most of the people are not going to experience that.
Yeah, in fact, both places, Kirk. Your statement is accurate. Both places, thus far, that we have identified the use of Sheol or Shaul and reference to a plague of death, the only possibility is Shaul, the individual, the founder of the Christian religion and author of half of its New Testament. And Chabaouk, Habachek, depending on how you want to pronounce it, but in the Hebrew, Chabaouk means embrace this. The name Shaul, Saul, therefore Paul, is not only constantly referenced in terms of pronouns before it,
mm-hmm.
as a singular male individual who arrives at the time that the moed, the meetings, the mikre are being fulfilled, which is year 4000, 33 CE, but that he also is egotistical, which is Paul to the max, arrogant, that his audience is a Gentile, because Sheol doesn't have an audience, and Sheol doesn't have an attitude.
Yeah,
and it says that he is fixated on the male genitalia, which is Paul was a homosexual, has no bearing on Sheol, and it says that he's opposed to circumcision. Well, Sheol doesn't have an opposition to anything. It's a place. And that it says that, he uses an intoxicating brew to woo his audience, and he says 100% of those who believe him will find no satisfaction. And so, but then he goes on to say that this soul named Shaul is the plague of death. And so, because he specifically says it's a soul, you have no option to translate Sheol as Sheol. It has to be Shaul. So, Chabaok there is no rational explanation for any other alternative other than Yahweh is calling Shaul, the author of the Christian New Testament, deadly, the plague of death.
Yeah.
Now, as you move to the conversation relative to Hosea, which is the place, if you were to find, there's really two places in the entirety of the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms that the primary subject is religion.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Jeremiah. Jeremiah is written to Gentiles to condemn religion. It condemns Christianity and Islam and Judaism. It is a universal religion killer. Now, the other is Hosea. And Hosea was written to Israelites regarding religion, and religion was presented as Ephraim. Ephraim represents religious rebellion against Yahweh. And in the Hosea statement that mentions Shaul by name, Paul by name, you are correct. It has to be Paul, because Yahweh cannot redeem someone from Sheol. And because that's the place that you go if you have separation from him, because you've done things which are unforgivable. And second of all, there is no plague of death associated with Sheol.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's telling you two reasons. Now, why is there no plague of death associated with Sheol?
Because you don't die there.
You're right. Sheol is the place you go where you do not die.
You live forever, miserably.
Correct.
Forever.
Correct. So this is what it says. In Hosea, it goes on to say that there is, as I say, that no alternative here. This is Hosea 13:14.
Mm-hmm.
From the possession of Shaul, I shall redeem them. From the plague of death, I shall deliver them. Where is your plague of death? Where is your destruction, O Shaul? So he first presents Shaul as the plague of death and Chabaok, and he's reinforcing that in Yeshaya, Isaiah. Well, here he's asking the question in the midst of his divorce from the northern kingdom, which he refers to as Ephraim because of their religious behavior, and he's saying, I'm going to redeem people from Paul and Pauline Christianity.
Right.
And the death plague of Pauline Christianity will cease to be for those that I redeem. Now, why would he say that I'm redeeming and then I'm going to deliver them from death? Why would death apply to Christianity, to Pauline Christianity, but not apply to Sheol?
Because they would be victims.
Correct.
And they would just die.
Correct.
That's the curse of it. Oh, you had your life. You chose poorly. You die.
Right. He's not redeeming and saving the pastors and the priests and the promoters of Christianity.
He wants nothing to do with them.
Right. He is saving and delivering from the consequence of being a victim of Christianity. He's saving those from what would be the death of their soul.
See, I just didn't want to be do translations where I don't know if this right term is a priori. I don't want to have a point of view and I just kind of plug it in because that's what I felt going into it. I
mm-hmm.
can't logically figure out any other way this could be anybody but show.
Right. It can't be. And when you then go to the conversation that preceded it, where is your sovereign now to save you in all of your cities? Well, there is no Sheol is a place of separation. There is no sovereign of Sheol to save one in a city. There's no sovereign of Sheol. much less a sovereign over cities that would be in Sheol.
That would be ridiculous translation.
You know, where are your rulers? Give me, a sovereign and a ruler. And so, there is no way to make Sheol, the place of separation, work in the context of Hosea. He is talking about delivering people from Pauline Christianity, the victims, not the popes. The popes are going to spend their eternity in Sheol. They will wish they could die, but won't be able to. But he will and has, particularly during these last days, because in Hosea 13:13, right before he makes this statement that he is saving us from Shaul. He says in 13:13, the statement immediately before, he refers to labor pains. You know where else he talks about labor pains?
Oh yeah, that's the end times.
Right, that's the Olivet, the Olivet discourse. He equates the terrorism that's going to be brought into the world, the wars and rumors of wars, and he talks about pestilence, I think it's religious pestilence that he's talking about it, and famine. I think that the starvation is from the nourishment of the Torah. The pestilence is from the prevalence of religious poisons and pathogens, and starvation, the famine is no one is being nourished on that which is healthy. I think it's symbolic as well as probably actual. But the terrorism is very real. It's an integral part of Islam. And it's from those birth pangs. And, of course, the earth is grinding to a halt under the load, which is why there'll be more earthquakes and more tornadoes, more hurricanes. Yeah, we're going to have climate change, all right. The earth, too, is going to go through birth pangs. As is humanity. And so he set all of that into the context of this very time where he is, in fact, delivering us from Pauline Christianity. And God's going to say, okay, Paul, you made a lot of claims. Let's see who prevails in the end. Isn't it amazing, Kirk, that here you have all these Christians who have become Christians so they could be saved from hell. And they're promoting salvation. Have you been saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? You know, have you accepted the gospel of grace? And here they are talking about their salvation in Christianity, and here's Yahweh talking about saving them from Christianity.
That's ironic.
Yeah, he says, the plague of death associated with Christianity. You know, I'm going to resolve, not by fixing Christianity, but by redeeming individuals, and that's what he says here, because he's talking about plague of death, so he's redeeming individuals from it.
Yes.
So, to be redeemed, to become immortal, you have to be saved from Christianity. You've got to be saved from Shaul, Paul. You know, and it's it's really interesting too that since there are two Shauls, not one.
Uh-huh.
There's King Saul, and then there's the wannabe Apostle Saul. Because there's two of them, you're right back to where Yahweh is all of the time, which is that he doesn't just need to save us from religion, in this case Christianity, but he also has to save us from politics. Because what was the other Saul?
Well, he destroyed the, he stole the children, he
right.
ruled them, he took
right.
stuff. He
commander in chief and king,
the
right? Yeah, yeah, right. So he was the
economy.
Yeah, dictator and king, and commander in chief. He was all of those things, and Yahweh laid out why choosing, voting for, being voting for. And having a government over you is hellish. And he says, here's all the bad things that are going to happen to you. So he is not only, by using the plague of death associated with Shaul and the need to redeem people from Shaul, is he not reemphasizing that the things he's saving us from is politics and religion?
Mm-hmm. Pretty clear.
Yeah, in fact, when Yosha was with his disciples and it was, after the Sermon on the Mount, where, he had fed everyone with bread and, very little bread and fish. And he asked the disciples, he said, anybody bring any bread? And I think he actually brought it up by talking about yeast. And they had, they were saying, oh, God, we forgot it, and I don't have any bread. Oh, God, how could we be so stupid? Here we're out on this boat and we don't have anything to eat. And Yosha says, oh, come on. Come on. I mean, I'm not talking about bread. I could make enough bread to sink the boat, with a blink of an eye. What I'm here to talk to you about is yeast and what yeast represents. And what he said was that the yeast, which is being removed from us on matzah, which is where we are redeemed, he says it represents the corruption of the scribes and the Pharisees. The Pharisees are religious zealots. The scribes were political zealots. Same again, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Pick your poison.
Take your poison. Every time that Yahweh references Ephraim, he's talking not only about the religion of Ephraim, but also the governance of Ephraim. So, to be saved, we have to be saved from patriotism and religion. The things that have joined together and melded together, particularly in America.
It's very hard to have a king or a dictator that doesn't tie in religion. I don't think you can rule that way very successfully. It's always been that way. I don't know anywhere in history where it's not been mixed together.
Yeah, of course.
Marauders who came from the Huns, when they mm-hmm. took over Turkey and all Persia and all, they adopted the religion to more successfully rule these people. I mean,
correct.
It's just everywhere.
If you look at the Mongols, which are always considered to be the worst of the barbarians, although I would say that the Mongols are, they were successful barbarian raiders and a classical case that you could make the case for the Romans being barbarians and the Visigoths being barbarians and the Gauls being barbarians and the Celts being barbarians and of course, Islam has been a barbarian religion from its beginning. But it was under the influence of Islam that the Mongols ultimately became the Ottoman Empire. It's when they were the most successful is when they integrated the religion of Islam with the robber bearing. They recognized that Islam was the perfect religion for a criminal enterprise. Tamerlane, after all, was a Mongol Muslim. We're on the topic of God promising to save certain individuals from Pauline Christianity. This quote from a Pauline Christian advocate was just too tempting for me to resist. Tim Tebow, God's quarterback. He was God's quarterback when he was got the Denver Broncos, of course, into the playoffs and won a playoff game. And remember all of his Tebowing and the like and all of his press conferences where he was God's boy. And, since he's been sidelined, no one refers to him as God's quarterback anymore, but he hasn't given up on his God. No. Asked whether he'd be anxious Friday, knowing the Eagles coaching staff would be evaluating him and deciding his fate, Tebow quoted Philippians 4:6. Who wrote Philippians?
Paul.
Yeah, he says, I try not to be anxious at all, Tebow said. That's what the Bible says. Bible did God ever use the term Bible?
Never.
Does God have a Bible?
No.
Oh, he doesn't. Bible's the name of a pagan goddess, just as his church. So it says that, and by the way, if you don't think God cares that you've named your book after a pagan sun goddess, Biblia, and and your church, your primary group that you belong to, after a pagan goddess, the daughter of Helios, Search, you're kidding yourself. If you think God doesn't care, it's just absolutely deluding yourself. Anyway, it says the Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing, Be anxious for nothing. I want to read the rest of this in a moment. You know, look at synonyms for anxious. I've got Microsoft Word up here. It means be concerned for nothing. Do you have concerns? Are you concerned about certain things?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I am too. Are you ever anxious?
Of course.
Yeah. You know what I'm anxious about? That I'm properly translating the testimony.
Came to me last night. It made me kind of nervous because I didn't want to go where and just head off down a path and say, whoa. I don't want to make anything up.
Right. I don't want to make anything up. You know, if you're going to cite Yahweh, if you want his words to be in your mouth, I'm anxious. I want to make sure I get the words right.
Uh-huh.
And I'm concerned about conveying his testimony. I'm concerned about sharing the feelings in religion and politics. I'm concerned about those things. I'm concerned about our world. I know its fate, but I'm concerned about it because I know the literal hell that people are bringing on themselves. We ought to be concerned. I mean, if you cease to be concerned, how can you be moral? How can you be loving?
Yeah.
How can you make good choices? How can you become enlightened if you're not concerned? But what does Paul want you? Just believe. Don't be concerned that I'm lying to you. Don't be concerned about the fact that I'm misrepresenting what God says and therefore
go with the flow.
Blowing smoke up your behind. Don't be concerned that I said I was demon-possessed. Don't be concerned with that. Just believe me. So, don't be concerned or anxious about anything, the Bible says. But in everything, in prayer and supplication. Supplication is a fancy word for prayer. It means to make a plea or a request. It's prayer, plea, or petition. In everything by prayer, pleas and petitions, prayer and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Make your request known to God. Why in the hell would you want to make your request known to God? How often do you make your request known to God?
I don't.
I don't either.
Really don't.
I did when I was a Christian. I don't anymore.
Sure. Oh, constantly.
You know, maybe every once in a great while. I'll say, you know, I don't think this has anything to do with the covenant. I don't think this has any bearing on the situation. But, you know, all things considered, I'd prefer this if possible.
Yeah.
It must be maybe once every 6 months.
Yeah.
Because it's not my request that I want God to know. It's God's request that he wants me to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if God didn't know any one of my requests, we'd be just fine.
Yeah,
he's right up to snuff on what I need.
Right.
Exactly. And what I want is only relevant when what I want is being explored in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to go off with Kirk and explore a galaxy someplace, and we'll let Scott tag along because he's entertaining.
Yeah, well, you know, even though he's a hitman, we'll let him go.
Yeah, we'll let him go. So, you know,
the Chinese government, though.
That's right. They were the ones that set up to off you. So, the reality is that even Yosha said it. You know, why are you making your request known to God? Don't you think God knows what you need? Don't you think he's going to give you what you need? And by the way, what he says, what he's going to give you, happens to be the doorway that's in the Torah. Pesach, that's what you need. And so this idea of letting your request be known to God is part of the poison that is this in this religion. Poisonous. You know, here's this guy. He's being asked about his football career. What do you think his football career has to do with the covenant?
Nothing.
And if you ask God for something that has nothing to do with the one thing he cares about, what do you think he's going to do? Nothing.
That's your
nothing.
Game. Don't play the game.
Go, but God, you want to play that stupid, violent game? Then you just go ahead and play it. I don't care. I'm not watching. I'm not concerned.
Why has it got to be a stupid, violent game?
Oh, by the way, yeah, I guess I'm not. I know, stupid, violent game. Yeah, that's right. Scott plays this game, coaches this game.
Yeah.
Actually, I watched the game, so I mean, I watched it.
I
watched Minnesota almost upend TCU last night in the open. And I watched a little bit of North Carolina almost take down South Carolina in the last night. So, I mean, from God's
fascinating to the people in Australia.
I'm going to tell you, from God's point of view, he ain't watching.
No.
No. So here is the first part of it, the Bible, and that's the pagan sun goddess, so God doesn't have one. Be anxious, which is to be concerned for nothing, and we ought to be concerned about a lot of things. In fact, Yahweh really wants us to be concerned about our soul and our relationship with him and the and what we have to say, particularly to our children. He really wants us to be concerned about all of these things. Mm-hmm. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, the only thing God wants you to do as it relates to in everything is to be observant and to listen.
Mm-hmm.
That's really it.
Shamar and Shema.
Yeah. You know, in this, there's no comment here about, you know, it's really important for you to come to know who I am and understand what I'm offering. No, just everything in prayer and supplication. Let your request be known to God.
Yeah.
Why? Why? Well, why not? If you want
what
to
his request is.
Yeah. Yeah, find out what he wants and then accommodate his request. Because guess what? Since he's the author of life and the creator of the universe, my guess is that if you come to know what he's offering and what he wants, it'll be better for you than what you want. You know, I'd like an airplane that flies at 500 miles an hour, that carries a 1,000-pound useful load, that sips about 5 gallons of Jet A an hour, and that has a cabin the size of my living room. That's what I'd like, and it is so easy to fly, I could do it in my sleep without having to practice.
Mm.
I'd like that. You know, that's probably not something that would serve my interest, but I'd like to have one of those.
No, we dream.
You know,
well,
but you know,
your money.
But you know, the nice thing is, Yahweh knows what I need, and he has one of those ready for me.
And we're going to wait for you to fly, by the way.
You betcha. And we're going to be going much faster than 500 miles an hour. We're going to be traveling faster than the speed of light, because speed becomes irrelevant when time no longer flows.
True.
Yeah, and we will have the ability to go in such comfort and luxury, with such safety and security, with such ease and convenience, it'll be vastly better than the object that I just described. God knows what we need and is going to be giving us much better than what we could possibly ask him for. And what we'd ask him for is irrelevant. All we should ask him for is to help us understand what he's offering and better know who he is. We ought to be asking him to help us properly understand and act upon the five terms and conditions of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
Why are we...
Pour into your heart is what we want him to do.
Goodness.
Yeah.
And Tebow repeated, be anxious for nothing. Don't be concerned. Well, I'm spouting this religion that is brain dead, that's stupid, that God is trying to save people from, that God is going to save people from, that God has saved people from. And he's touting the poison pen of Paul. God's obviously not going to save him from Pauline Christianity.
No.
And, you know, that's the that's why we turned to this Yeshaya 28th chapter, is it's leading us directly to Paul again. The man who wrote this statement, don't be concerned about anything. Pray, just pray about everything. Let your request be known to God.
Okay.
It's exactly the opposite of what we ought to be doing. It's exactly the opposite of what Yosha said. Listen to him. You know, observe what he had to say. Get to know what he wants. And what he wants is you to engage in his covenant. Come to understand how that's done. Now, there's five conditions, and the first of those conditions is that you've got to make a decision to be unreligious, to be unpatriotic. Are you willing to do that?
Yeah, you have to start there.
You have to start there. If you want to understand where you have to start, how did Yahweh start with Abraham?
Well, I was going to say even further for the Christian, where did the disciples start? They walked away and walked with
me. They walked away. Right. They walked away from their jobs. And they walked to...
And learned from him.
That is correct. And so...
Go to the Torah. So,
what's the first thing? Yahweh says, all right, Abram, before he even said... I want you to engage in a covenant relationship with me. I want to have you inherit all of these wonderful things. The first words out of his mouth is, walk away from your country, from Babel, from confusion, from Babel, from the Lord. Walk away from the Lord. Walk away from confusion. Walk away from politics. Walk away from your country.
I had to chuckle there a little bit when you, the way you said that. I had this, when you said Babel, I all of a sudden had the picture of a Southern preacher holding up his Bible.
My Babel! That's right. That's funny. Yeah. You know, by the way, Babel and Bible, same base. Bible and Babel.
And enemies.
Yeah. You know, it's the consonant base of words in all ancient languages that tie them together to their root. Yeah. Bible and Babel. Babel is, when Yahweh was speaking of the whore of Babylon, when he's denouncing Babylon, when he is talking about Babel being the language of Babylon and how it is confusing, he's using the exact same word that Christians have used to describe their Bible. Bible and Babel, same word. And in the middle of it, it has Bel. And Bel is the name of the Lord, who is the adversary, Satan.
Well, even think about the word Babel.
Mm-hmm.
You're babbling.
Right, babbling.
You're talking foolish, excited, incoherent, incomprehensible. That's somebody that's babbling. You're just babbling right now.
It's true. Religion, if you read Paul's letters, he's babbling. Incomprehensible. Babbling. I mean, for example, if you're not concerned about anything, then you're concerned. Be concerned in nothing requires you to be concerned. You know, be concerned about nothing. Don't be concerned about anything is the basis of Buddhism.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Yes, and if you're not concerned about anything, you will become nothing.
Yeah. What?
Be concerned about, be anxious in nothing is to become nothing.
Well, you know, the when you use the B and the L, it means to come to nothing. That's the root. That's the root. It means to flow or come to nothing.
BBL. B is a home, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What's the second one of them?
Well, that's the staff.
That's the last
one. BBL.
How many covenants are there?
One.
And Bible and Babel, how many homes are there? How many covenants are there?
Two. Wow, interesting.
Wow, isn't that interesting?
Not only
is there Bel and Babel, not only, which is the Lord, not only is Bible and Babel the same root, which is interesting.
That is.
But there's two covenants in Babel.
That's amazing.
What is Christianity based on?
Two covenants, God.
Covenants. Isn't that interesting? The covenant is Bereth. It's based on Be'eth. Be'eth is the name of the letter B in Hebrew. The letter B in Hebrew is defined by Be'eth, which means home and family. It's the basis of covenant. There are two covenants in Babel. So, in Babel we have two covenants, Christianity. In Babel we have Bible, the book of Christianity. In Babel we have the, in fact, you know what the word ba is in Hebrew?
No, go ahead.
It's a conjunction.
Uh-huh.
It means in and with.
Okay.
And what is Bel in Hebrew?
That's Satan. Baal.
Yeah, the Lord.
Lord.
So, Ba, Bel, what would that be in Hebrew?
That would be you're joining with.
With Baal? With the Lord Baal. Or in the Lord?
In the Lord, yeah, part of.
So here we have, he's asking Abraham to leave Babel. He's talking about the Whore of Babylon. And in Babel, we have Bible, we have in Baal and with Baal. And we have two covenants.
That's freaky. That's really, that's like, wow, scared me. That's scary.
How did we miss that all this time?
Wow.
Christianity and its two covenants. Yahweh has one covenant. There is no new covenant, according to Yahweh. Statement of fact, not my opinion. There is no renewed covenant. There is no New Testament. Yahweh has but one covenant. The second covenant, the New Testament, comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians.
And Yahweh never said any such thing.
That is correct. The entire concept of a renewed covenant or a New Testament comes entirely from Paul. It is Pauline Christianity. It is found in the Christian Babel, Bible, which means in Baal and with Baal. And there are two covenants in it. There's only one with Yahweh. If you're in a religion with two covenants, you're in league with Satan. But there's good news.
Yes.
And that is that Yahweh has declared, and he is always right. He always does what he promised. That he's going to redeem those in Shaul, those in Pauline Christianity, and he's going to save them from the plague of death. If you're only willing. Your only criterion, only contribution here is you got to be willing to walk away from in Baal with the Lord, with your doctrine of two covenants from your Bible. Are you willing to do that? If you're willing to do it, Yahweh stands ready to redeem you. But by the way, to redeem means to buy back from.
Mm-hmm. Purchase.
Yeah, to purchase back from. He's already paid the price to ransom you from the religion of Pauline Christianity, from your Bible, from being with the Lord.
Okay.
Babel, with the Lord. Goodness, how did we miss it all this time? And by the way, with Ba, and meaning with and in, The A is supplied. It's not written. So it's just the B.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so the B, as in Babel, it's BBL. There is no A there either. So it's absolutely, if you were to look at every Hebrew word that was written in or with something, it would be Ba. And Bel is used throughout the Torah. As the name of Satan. Babel.
In league with the devil.
In league with the devil. A book, Bible, that presents two covenants. Isn't the very, if you talk about the Bible, isn't the first defining aspect of the Bible an Old and a New Testament?
Oh, yeah.
BBL, covenant. Covenant led is two covenant led is the pictographs that comprise Bible or Babel. Covenant, covenant, led. Two covenants. Led to two covenants. In Baal and with the Lord. Wow.
This is an aha moment.
It's an aha moment, folks. If you're a Christian, leave. Open your eyes. Open your mind. If you need extra proof, go to questioningpaul.com. Go to, if you want the book with a beautiful cover drawn by Kirk, go to clariters.com and search for Questioning Paul. You will find overwhelming and irrefutable evidence that Paul was exactly as God has depicted him, a plague of death. And he stands ready to redeem you from it, to pronounce you alive, restored from this deadly, deadly pathogen. Now, we began this by talking about Islam is a deadly pathogen, a disease. Well, there is a more deadly disease. It's Pauline Christianity. Twice as many people are afflicted with Pauline Christianity as are afflicted with Islam, but collectively, they represent half of the world's population. How many people are going to die in the during the tribulation, during just the Magog War, which is a war between Islam and the rest of the world,
obviously,
Christianity and Judaism?
Mm-hmm.
How many people are going to die?
Half of them.
Half of them.
Yeah. The rest will die slower.
Yeah. Half of the world are corrupted by Babel. With the Lord, in the Lord. Two covenants led. With Baal, in Baal. Bible being the name of a pagan sun god, bearing exactly the same root as Babel, confusion, which is the whore of Babylon. It's the incarnation of everything that Satan has sought to do to corrupt mankind.